Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place, so near, so precious. May it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past, for his love has been so gracious. It has won my heart at last. Let's think of that as the song is sung. The second verse begins with, sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortals be more blessed? Reading today from John chapter 3, beginning at verse 16 to the end of the words of Christ to Nicodemus at verse 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's give thanks for these words, especially for the gospel itself. that is described in the 16th verse, that God so loved the world that he gave his Son and gave him to die, to be buried, and to rise again. And he is now at the right hand of the Father and will one day again return to earth where every eye will see him. Let's pray in his name. Our Father, we do come to thee through Christ alone. We have no righteousness in ourselves. We are under the curse. As we read last week from thy word, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things of the book of the law to do them. But we give thanks, Father, that Christ has been made a curse for us. And we pray, Father, that we might rightly know our own cursedness, that we might rightly know thy love in giving him. We give thanks for thy word that gives us the message of the gospel, and that we can have faith by hearing, and hearing by thy word. Make us to know in thankfulness, but also in trembling, that it is thy word, and that we might be poor before it, searching whether or not we believe that word in the right way, whether or not we honor thy name, and are not left to take thy name in vain, even when we read of thee in the word. We pray, Father, that because of Christ, thou wilt now teach us and send thy Spirit to convict us where we need it, to lead us into all truth where we need that, and especially to take the things of Christ and show them to us. We pray for these spiritual blessings first, that we might be made to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness with the promise that all these things will be added. We give thanks for the many things that we do have that others do not have, and food and raiment, home and shelter, the blessings of freedom, the blessings in nature. Others are suffering, even on the ravages of nature, in famine, and drought, flood, fire, wind, earthquakes, all these calamities. We pray, Father, thou wilt be with them that are suffering. And we pray that for thy children in the midst of them, that they may know that all things work together for good to them that love thee and are called according to thy purpose, that there may be chastenings in those things to bring them back to thee, if they have wandered, and if they have left their first love, that there might be revival in the church through judgments and through calamities, through chastisements. We pray, Father, that we might be taught without these chastisements, if it could be thy will, that we might be chastened by thy word. We pray for our homes, the needs in them, especially the broken homes, the children in those homes. Pray for those in sickness, injury. Pray, Father, for healing. Give them faith in Christ, the great physician, for healing. If it is not thy will, give them the grace to learn through it, the brevity of life, the certainty of death, the need to prepare, the grace also to bear through life in pain and weakness. We pray, Father, for those in old age. We pray for other needs that there are, the hungry, the homeless, all these different calamities. We pray, Father, thou wilt in judgment remember mercy through Christ. Amen. Looking one more time at this message given by the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, coming to Jesus by night, coming in the early part of his ministry, coming, declaring to the Lord Jesus that he was a teacher come from God. And the first thing that we read of Christ speaking to Nicodemus is telling him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." At the same time, during the early ministry of Christ, he spoke and told the people in his audience, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Another one of the gospel writers record, "Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand." The kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. It is a kingdom of which Christ is the door into that kingdom and into the presence of God the Father. Also, there are many other teachings in Scripture that we need to hear and believe. We need to have what we read in this last verse of the words recorded by John, given by Christ to Nicodemus, But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. There are many things spoken here. Some of it we might call the good news of the gospel, particularly verse 16, the first that we read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is one thing to know that verse in the letter, in memory, another thing to know our need of it as perishing sinners. That's what we are naturally. And that's what we are until we have believed to the saving of our soul. Not everybody believes that. Many think we are born in a right relationship with God. Christ said everyone needs to be born again. Everyone needs to believe so they will not continue in the perishing way. Everyone also needs to learn the truth that up till the time we believe to the saving of our soul, we are under condemnation. Verse 19 particularly, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I remember one time a grandmother wanted to talk to her granddaughter about the Lord. And the granddaughter says, "Later, Grandma, later." She wanted to stay, evidently, in the dark. She wanted that for the present time. That is our natural way. I can remember my grandmother talking to us, my cousin and myself. We were uneasy. We'd like to get away from it. Love darkness rather than light. We like to go about other things first, or sometimes other things alone, that we don't like to be put in such a place, especially that we might have to give an answer. It's one thing to listen. It's another thing to answer if there's a question. Have we realized these things to be true of ourselves? That I am under condemnation. We read last week from God's word in Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul's letter to the Galatians, that by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. No one. Doesn't make any difference where we're born. We're all under condemnation. We're all under the curse. Those that know the word from their childhood on, or those that do not. Think of the Jews. Romans 3 asked, what advantage then hath the Jew? What advantage did Nicodemus have as one of them? Paul answers, much every way. To them were given the oracles of God. They had that blessing that other nations did not have. But were they saved by it? Only a remnant, only a small number. Paul writes, quoting from Isaiah, that though the number of Israel be as the sand of the sea for multitude, a remnant shall be saved. A remnant was taken from the perishing way that they were in, Nicodemus's people and Nicodemus himself. First thing, Christ said, you must be born again. As I've said before, someone who identified that with certain denominations, certain teachings, but every man needs that. As Christ states here further to Nicodemus, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Speaking generally of all, then the next verse, even more specific. For every one, including you and me, that doeth evil, hateth the light. We have to be awful self-righteous. We have to be very, very blind. If we're going to say, I never did any evil. I'm not guilty of any evil deeds, thought, word, or deed. Only if that were true, we could say, but then I'm not one that hates the light. We are in that guilty state. We are every one come short of the glory of God. The purpose for which you and I have been put on this earth, for God's glory. It is the glory of his grace. If we believe his word in the way of repentance, in the way of knowing our guilt, the way of knowing our great need of Christ. Yes, it is a great need. That's why it is a great gospel. Not only does Paul speak of everyone that does not continue in the way of the law is under the curse, but shortly after that, in the same chapter, Galatians chapter 3, Paul writes that Christ became a curse for us, quoting from Scripture, "For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree," referring to the cross as a tree, Christ hanging there, becoming a curse for us. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Only those under the curse need a Savior. If you aren't cursed by God because of your sin, you don't need Christ to become a curse for you. What reason do you believe? Just him being like Nicodemus said, "Thou art a teacher, come from God." Yes, there are those who only believe that they need Christ as a teacher. That would say, "I believe in his good teaching. I believe in the Sermon on the Mount." Well, even the Sermon on the Mount will condemn us if we read it rightly and carefully. We will find that we are guilty with others. We are guilty just in thought, in desire. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh make us guilty, as guilty as if we did the deed. That's the teaching of Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, given in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And then, in order to be right with God, we have to be both hearers and doers. But here we have it not by obedience, but by believing on another. Verse 18, "He that believeth on him." Stop believing in ourself. No righteousness there. No more righteousness than the publican who smote upon his breast and said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." He went to his house justified, as Christ said, rather than the other, who thought he was different, thought he was not as other men. He was the innocent one. But he was not. Nicodemus was not. He had to learn these things from Christ. Not only that he had to be born again, but also that he needed to repent. He needed to come guilty in his heart. The Pharisees were generally those that washed the outside of the cup. They were the ones that drained out the gnats, swallowed the camel, as Christ accused them. And later, even had very strong language for scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, asking them, "How will you escape the damnation of hell?" And we can see all through the years of Christ's ministry how the Pharisees tempted Christ, how they tried to get him to say the wrong thing and then have him be guilty in their sight, and guilty especially before the Roman rulers, and asking whether it's right to give to Caesar or not. Christ always answered them in wisdom and put them to silence. And that's what we all need. Romans 3, "That every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God." Jonathan Edwards said, preaching that from that third chapter of Romans often, that God used that more than any other scripture that he preached. Bringing sinners guilty, their mouths stopped, all the world becoming guilty before God. And that's very plain here in the words of Christ to Nicodemus, as well as to you and me. Again, verse 19, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." We want to stay in the dark. We don't want the whole truth. That in itself proves, I believe, the scripture to be true. People don't mind talking and arguing about politics and want to prove themselves right when they're very wrong, not afraid to say it. People are not afraid to say it today. They're not afraid to go against God today. As Paul warns, those that resist the powers that God has put into place will receive damnation. He says, those that will resist will receive that, and they will, either in time or eternity. Some in time, suddenly, taken out of the world. Some not till they die naturally, but they will receive, God said, damnation. And we need to think about that. We need to pray for those in authority, not just rebel. And we need to think about that in our future for God's glory. We need to think about it in our future for ourselves and especially for our children. What are we giving them? We're giving them in society, life is cheap. When we can kill by the thousands and want to do it more, want to elect those who will say, this is permissible, this is right. It's a terrible thing. We're right in it. Every day, every hour, it's happening. Today again, thousands killed in a mother's womb, murdered, torn apart, awful. And they love evil. The 20th verse is even stronger than verse 19. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. What's the argument about today? They're discussing approving a Supreme Court judge. Some people say, we want you to say that you will support killing the unborn before we vote for you. We want you to be a murderer with the rest. That's how evil we are. That's how we hate the light. That's how we call evil good and good evil. As Isaiah said it long ago, we're doing that. And we need to do it now in prayer. Lord, open our eyes. Take away our love of evil. And take away our hating the light. Hating God's word, as the psalmist said, thy word is a light on my path. Yes, we need to know it in a particular way to be right with God in the new birth, in believing on the Lord Jesus and being saved so we will not perish. Verse 17 states, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Christ was sent for that purpose, to be saved, the world. You're included. Have you been saved? Do you know that you were lost? Do you know that in your lost condition, God taught you and then saved you, pardoned you, forgave you, gave the Spirit to witnesses? Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's when the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. That's when we can say, Abba, Father, my Father, through Christ. That is something that happened there to 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. It didn't happen to many of the other Jews. They kept on hating those that proclaimed the word. They later killed Stephen when he preached that same message as on the day of Pentecost. Later, Herod killed James. The Jews liked it, so he tried to kill Peter as well. God delivered him out of the prison. That was that nation to whom Christ was born, to whom the word was given. As I said a little while ago, they were blessed much every way, particularly, especially, given the oracles, the scriptures of God. And then having them hated the light, did not want to hear it, killed the prophets that brought the word through the years, and killed the Lord Jesus. God in his love gave him, they hating him who is the light of the world. As John described it in the first chapter, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Then John the Baptist came and made Christ known, called him the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's my only hope, that Lamb of God taking away my sin, paying for it on the cross, becoming a curse on that tree. That's the gospel. That's God's love. That's why he sent him, that the world through him might be saved. And we didn't know our guilt. We didn't know that we hate the light as well as we're disobedient to the holy law. That's bad enough. But to hate God's love in Christ, hate the light of the world, hate the Creator, the one with the Father. But if we recognize it and believe it and say, I'm guilty with the worst, then we do truth. We come to the light. Later in the ministry, Christ said to some who profess to believe on him, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. John chapter 8, verse 28. Then we read in the 30th verse, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Verse 31, then Jesus said to those which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Continue in the word. We have to begin in the word, the wonderful word, the scriptures, God's holy word. Truth, truth, truth. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. If we believe we're guilty by the word, then we can in humbleness and childlike faith come to the light, who is Christ. Our deeds will be made manifest that they are then wrought in God. The change will take place. Up to that time, as Christ said further in John chapter 8, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. If we don't want to know that we're sinners, as in chapter 8 when Christ said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth will set you free. They said, we're not bound. We don't have to be born again. We are already right with God. We are Abraham's seed. There's people that think that today, descendants of Abraham by the blood. But there are also people who think that in the church today. We are Abraham's seed. We are with Abraham under that promise. The promise of what? If you repent and are baptized, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in his name for the remission of your sin, which God sees and he's telling you about them in his word, both by the law and the gospel. By the law, our guilt. By the gospel, our hatred of the light. Believe in him today, and you will be made free.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.